Thankful for the Bell family. Pastor Bell will be presenting their ministry there in Maine tomorrow night. He'll be telling you about the churches that God has used them to start there in the state of Maine. He'll be talking about he has an aviation ministry. Through their ministry, they have their own plane that they fly around to the different church plants. And it's amazing what God is doing there. And thankful that the Lord allowed him to come, and Ms. Amy as well. How the Lord is using them. So, Brother Bell, you come and you preach what God's put on your heart, and we're just thankful to have you here, brother. Amen. Thank you so much.
Love you, buddy.
Amen. Love you, brother.
I want you to take the Word of God with me tonight and look with me in the book of Acts and Acts chapter number 14. What a delight to be here in Georgia, or as the missionary says, JoJo. I'm pretty close. So delighted to be here, so thrilled with the opportunity that God has given us to be able to come and speak again on missions. My heart is stirred just in opening the Bible to the book of Acts. I don't know where you're at in your Bible study or how passionate you are about the book of Acts, but when I open up my Bible to the book of Acts, as a missionary, I get happy. And all through the book of Acts is just the acts of the Holy Spirit, the acts of God's men, the acts of His church. Yes, the Lord is in a great transition work, but yet we see God working in power and great glory. Churches are being established, with that first one being established there in Jerusalem. And you see the great growth that takes place there. I mean, could you imagine being in a service where 3,000 people get saved? Could you imagine being in a service where 5,000 people get saved? I mean, we get happy when somebody raises their pinky in the air in New England. I mean, we just baptized 4 people last Sunday night. And we had 2 saved that morning. And those 2 followed the Lord in believers' baptism that night. And a couple weeks previous to that, we had had 2 more get saved. And all 4 of them got baptized last Sunday night. That's revival. I think it's revival anywhere. But in New England, it for sure is revival. And we give God the glory for what He's doing. But could you imagine 5,000 people? 3,000 people? I mean, think about preaching to those people without the aid of a microphone. There had to be some type of a amphitheater or some type of a setting where the preacher could preach with such volume. I thought about that Saturday as I was in an old New England church preaching at a wedding or giving a charge at a wedding, and the walls were 20 feet tall, and it was just a beautiful New England church. And oh, it was so beautiful. And I went to the pulpit and I said, "How's everybody going to hear?" And I said, "God says in the book of Genesis," and it just reverberated all through the place. I wonder about that as they were preaching there in the book of Acts. What excitement is on the pages. If God would be my helper this week during the sessions that we have together, I'm excited about teaching and preaching through the book of Acts. And I prepared, this is an airplane sermon tonight. I prepared it on the airplane. So if it doesn't get off the ground, we'll just have to ask the Lord to help us. But I'm stirred here in Acts chapter number 14. I'm going to call your attention in just a few moments to verse number 27. But as it is my custom, in every church that I go into, you don't know who I am. I don't know who you are. And even just a few moments ago when I said, "Take the Word of God," some of you jumped. And so we have to kind of get to know each other. We have to learn. And by the time we get to know each other, I'm going back to Maine. And you're staying here. He may be going to Germany. I don't know. They may move to Germany. I don't know what's going on there. His wife looked at him funny. I don't know. Maybe they'll have that discussion. You'll go to your place. I'll go to my place when we're just getting to know each other. And so let me just take a few minutes. I'm married. I have a beautiful wife. We just celebrated our 30th wedding anniversary. We hadn't taken a vacation in 5 years. We took a vacation and celebrated our 30th wedding anniversary. We have four children. My oldest daughter is 26. She's a banker. My son, who's 23, is a golf pro at a golf club there on the coast of Maine. My daughter, Cherith, who is a walking miracle. She almost died several times. She has had her colon removed. She has an ostomy bag. She is a walking miracle, but she works in our Christian Academy. She teaches English for us. She went to Crown College. She's finishing up her degree at Veritas. But she is a wonderful girl. And then our other daughter is at Crown College, finishing up this year a degree in cosmetology. And so we have four children. We have been serving Christ passionately for the last 25 years in the state of Maine. And we haven't lost our accent. In Maine, they pack the car. I mean, they have a little bit of an accent. They say over there, and they say here. And sometimes they whine a little bit whenever they talk. Say, come over here. I don't talk like that yet. And I haven't lost my accent. But we have served the Lord passionately for 25 years in the state of Maine. I'll talk more about it tomorrow. But we just finished our 8th church plant. And the pastor that they voted in as their pastor, his first Sunday was yesterday. And so we've been averaging about 15 people at this church plant. And yesterday they had 22 in attendance. And so we're so thrilled with what God's doing. Lost people there in attendance. And I'll talk more about that tomorrow night in the minutes that we have together. But I am delighted to be here. And I'm thrilled about, you know, every church you go into, I've had the privilege of preaching around the country, and every church you go into, every church has its own personality. And I try to figure out the personality of the church before I get here. It's just a game that I do. I don't normally tell people I try to figure it out, but I'm telling you tonight that I try to, what kind of church am I going to? Boy, I've been in a lot of different churches. I've been in churches where there was thousands of people. I've been in churches where there was only two peoples. I've been in churches where there was 15, where there was 100, where there's 300, where there was 800. I had the privilege of preaching for my friend John Wilkerson at that 8,500 seat auditorium. And it's just magnificent of preaching there. I've been in a lot of places, but I can usually, before I even get there, know what the people are going to be like before I meet the first one. And I nailed it tonight. I nailed it. I am looking at a group of very inquisitive people that are anxious to hear what God's Word has to say. And that is a wonderful testimony to your pastor. And God bless him. And God bless you. We're going to have a good time together. We're going to spend a few minutes. I didn't get as much sleep last night, so I'm not going to be long-winded. I'm going to be respectful. It's a school night. But I believe God has something for us. And I want us to talk about this verse. It'll be a textual message. I'll use other verses to support it. Actually, other chapters. I'll be in chapters 13 and chapter 14 of the book of Acts. But really, I want to deal with the text, verse 27. Some of my most favorite preaching is reading a text and then delving into that passage of Scripture and outlining that passage of Scripture and seeing what God has for each of us in this passage of Scripture. And the title of my message today is Missions in the Book of Acts. Or if I would subtitle it, I would subtitle the message, The First Missionary Journey of the Church at Antioch. Now, it's a long subtitle, but yet it'll give you thoughts on where I'm headed. These missionary journeys, many of us have studied them from our childhood. If you were raised in church, my mother and father were saved when I was 1 year old. And I had the privilege of being raised in an independent fundamental Baptist church. Actually, my pastor was Dr. J.B. Buffington in Lakeland, Florida, a stalwart of the faith. On the board at BIMI for years, a man that preached every sermon 1 hour. And it was just filled with the Word of God. I can remember that. And I grew up, had the privilege of growing up in a solid church my whole entire life, but I can remember very vividly the missionary journeys in the book of Acts in Sunday school. I can still see regular Baptist Press's maps. I can see their maps that they sent out in the first missionary journey, the second missionary journey. I can still see in the back of my Bible with a little, sometimes a little doodling on the maps because you were trying to draw on those maps in the back of my Bible, but I can still see those maps. But you know, God is still creating missionary journeys. This is the missionary journey that we're going to study about tonight. But what's thrilling is the Murdochs have a missionary journey. And what's thrilling, I'll probably not have time to get into it tonight, but I told my wife on the way down, I said, I don't know that I'm even going to preach. I'm just going to get up and just tell all that God's done in the state of Maine. And I studied, and the Lord said, you better stick with the Bible, not your story. But I do have a missionary journey. We've been on one for 25 years. Maybe if the Lord would allow us to, I could take you to the first person we had the joy of leading to Christ. And then I could take you to the second person, and I could talk to you about the hundreds of individuals that have come to Christ and all of the churches that we have stepped out and by faith saw the Lord work a miracle. I've been on a missionary journey for all these years, and by God's grace, we're not ready to stop. And I'm praying that the Lord will do something special. As we study this missionary journey together of the church at Antioch, and these two that were sent out, missions in the book of Acts, I hope that you'll see the excitement of the gospel advancing. Because that's exciting. When the gospel is advancing, there's just something about that. Whether it's here in Georgia, whether it's in Maine, Indonesia, Germany, or any of your other missionaries. By the way, just a parenthesis, Andrew Canavan, your missionary's son, the missionary that you support in Ireland, his son was with us during these last 5 days. And our church is going to take him on for support. He preached the Sunday morning message at our church yesterday morning. God's wonderful. The missionary journey, I hope that you'll get excited about the gospel advancing. That's what it's about. This is not a boring meeting. This is the most exciting meeting in my opinion. This is the most exciting meeting on our church calendar. I tell our people, I'm canceling the revivals and only doing missions meetings from now on. And they wouldn't be opposed to that. We love missions. That's revival. To think about the gospel advancing. And so here we see in this passage the gospel is advancing. It's the most thrilling thing that we can experience as a church and as a Christian. Let me say before I read verse number 27 and we get into the Bible, one of the most discouraging things that we can face as a Christian and as a church is apathy. We would never want that to be said of any of us. I want to emphasize tonight on purpose, we would never want that to be said of any of us. I don't know, and I don't care. That's apathy. We don't want that. Hence, we're in a meeting to ignite our hearts about the heathen. The psalmist said, why do the heathen rage? I'll tell you why they rage. Because they don't know the Prince of Peace. It's the only reason why we're not in a rage tonight. Because we know the Prince of Peace. The Lord Jesus Christ has saved our soul. We're not going to hell. We're on our way to heaven. We have the declared righteousness of God Almighty. We have been justified. We are no longer a sinner, but we are a saint. It's by God's grace all of that's happened. And we believe that can happen with the heathen. Hence, we have a meeting. May I phrase it? We have a business meeting as a church to see what we're going to do about the heathen. Are we going to evangelize the heathen? Or are we going to turn a blind eye? Thank God that we're not turning a blind eye. We're asking the Lord to help us What's this going to take? I believe verse 27 will answer that for us in our Bible study that we have together tonight. Look with me in verse number 27 of Acts 14. The Bible says, "And when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them and how He had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles." If you're taking notes tonight, I would like for you to note several things as we develop this passage of Scripture. First of all, I want you to circle or square or underline that little word, "they." It will be the subject of my first thought, which will be teamwork. The Bible uses the word "they." Then I want you to also look at the word "and when they were come." I want to call that point, number two, travel. Number one, teamwork or team. Number two, travel. "And when they were come," that indicates that they were traveling. I want you to also look with me at the phrase or the verse, "and when they were come and had gathered the church together." I've called this togetherness to emphasize the local body, the local assembly. And then last of all, if we have time to get into these thoughts, the phrase "all that God had done with them," and I've identified that in my outline as triumph. I want us to develop those four thoughts and ask the Lord to help us tonight as we study together. As we get into this first truth, it's teamwork. You know, can I go out down here? Is it okay? When I was first sent out as a missionary, I've been at this now 30 years. And when I was first sent out as a missionary, there was a false philosophy. It actually was not a biblical philosophy, and it had been with the church for quite some time. Actually, maybe possibly even dating back to the time of the Haystack Revival at Williams College. Boy, when you come to New England, and I would invite any of you that feel that God is leading you to New England to come to New England and to be a part of what God is doing. When I went to New England 25 years ago and started in the state of Maine, it was hard pressed to find anybody to fellowship with. And I'm a separatist, but I would have liked to have fellowshipped even with a Christian. I can remember when the Assembly of God guy met me at my bank one day, and he had a bracelet on and an anklet on. I don't know, maybe even a gold necklace. I don't know what he had on. And he had several things on. It was quite different looking to me. And he said to me that he was the pastor at the Assembly of God in our town. And I said, "Sir, if you don't mind me asking, are you a born-again Christian?" And he says, "I'm a born-again Christian." And I said, "Thank God, it's about time I finally met a Christian around here." And we had sweet fellowship around Christ. Say amen right there. Some of us need to learn that truth. We had sweet fellowship around Christ. And he looked at me and he said to me very passionately, "I've heard about you." And he said, "You're doing something that all of us have forgot about. You're evangelizing the lost." And he said, "Thank you for coming to our area and evangelizing the lost." And we were great friends. Had sweet fellowship around Christ during those days when we're out in the public. When I went to Maine, you could rarely find anybody to fellowship with now. Now when we have our Pastor Refreshers Conference, it'll be this year, December the 2nd and the 3rd, we'll have almost 80 pastors from the area. That's a God thing. When I was sent out, the emphasis is on the missionary. The missionary is the one that is to go. He's kind of like, I don't know if you guys... And God bless you for sitting up here. I was looking up here when we were singing a few minutes ago, and I said, this is the hero section right here. Because the young men and the young ladies are sitting up here. This I call the hero section. And I thought about that, and some of you probably know what superheroes are. I don't really have a superhero. I'm 50 this year. And so I guess it may be Superman or Batman. I don't know. I don't know any of the superheroes. And I know that makes me not a cool dude, but it's okay. I'm too old to be a cool dude anyway. But honestly, you know what superhero is and can just do practically anything. Well, the old school taught that the missionary was the superhero. He went and he never wore out. He could preach 15 times a day and for 3 hours at a time, which doesn't even make mathematical sense, but you know what I'm saying. He could, I do know how to multiply. I got it. He could just work and labor and start churches and wide open. I mean, do all of this. And I tried to live that out till about a month ago. I had a little health scare. And everybody has said it caught up with you. When you preach 4 or 5 times on a Sunday and after you preach, you get in an airplane and you're the pilot and you fly with a whole team of people in the back and you have to mute them because they're yip, 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 yipping all the time. So I mute their mic so I can't hear them. I tell them I'm praying, but actually I don't want to listen to them. But anyway, that's another story. I do pray. But you fly an airplane, you get to a location, you get in a car, you drive, you have a whole nother service at another church plant. After that service is over with, you fly home, you leave the choir. After you leave the choir and choir rehearsal, you preach the nightly message and you preach 4 or 5 times and leave the choir and fly an airplane. All of that on an 18-hour Sunday, that's what the missionary is supposed to do. But that's not biblical. The biblical approach is in the word they. And what I'm praying tonight will happen is that there'll be some teams that God speaks to go out and evangelize the heathen. And it could start by the Spirit of God pointing His finger at somebody here tonight that says you could be part of that team. Not just to evangelize the heathen around the world, but to be big in your own local assembly until God would call you out. We'll find that to be true in this Bible lesson tonight. Notice the word again, they, in verse number 27. If you have a habit of marking in your Bible, I want you to look at, I could take you in these two chapters and show you so many, but just casually today on the flight down from Philly, I noticed in verse 21 of Acts 14, it's mentioned twice. And then in verse number 23, it's mentioned twice. And in verse 24, once. And in verse 25, twice. And in verse 26, once. And so it's referring to a team. Now we find this team introduced to us in chapter 13 in verse number 1. Please quickly come there with me as my time is quickly passing by. In Acts chapter number 13 in verse number 1, the Bible says, "Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manon, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul." And so we're introduced to several of these individuals, but later on, they are clearly identified in multiple passages of Scripture. For example, as verse number 7 would teach us, which was with the deputy of the country of Sergius Paulus, a prudent man, who called for Barnabas and Saul. And so we find this team, of course, Mark was with them right here, but he quickly left, which is another message in and of itself. But Barnabas and Saul are together. They are a team. And I want you to notice about this team, first of all, they were in the church. You find that in chapter 13 and verse number 1. So that's encouraging to me because the team that were sent out of the church were already in the church. And the Bible uses the word as they ministered. Now, you could define that in a lot of different ways, but I would like to think that a minister is a servant. And so if they were ministering in the church, that means they were serving in the church in some type of capacity. I would like to think that Barnabas's gifts were coming out in the church, because as you study Barnabas, go all the way back to the church at Jerusalem, he was very generous. He gave of what he had. Having land, sold it. And brought the money to the apostles' feet. Probably one of the most discouraging verses in any Baptist church is that verse right there. Because as soon as you bring it up, it's like, oh no, are we going to talk about giving? Well, how could we not talk about giving in the context of missions? We must give something. Our God has been good to us. We must give a portion in a free will offering. In a grace offering. The pastor mentioned, he preached on it yesterday. We must do something. For to do nothing would most definitely be sin. We must do something to reach the heathen with the gospel. So I would say Barnabas was no doubt probably encouraging somebody and consoling them. His name very much means the son of consolation. So no doubt he had that ministry. Can I say just in passing, it would be good if many of us had that gift. I've pastored people before, Pastor Brinson, that I think they actually think they have the gift of discouragement. I don't believe that's a God-given gift. And you, if you try to pastor someone that thinks they have the gift of discouragement, that's a pretty discouraging thing. Trust me, I've been there, done it. 30 years into this thing now. And they just, I mean, their whole purpose, I've got somebody right now sitting in our church, sitting there bowed up, went all over. Could you imagine that somebody would go on Facebook? When I say Facebook, it reminds me of our guy that was teaching us, our minister of music, that was teaching us how to use all of these items up here. And I saw some of the elderly in our congregation going, what am I supposed to do? I'm not that far behind you, sis. I do have an iPhone, and it is better than yours, but anyway, we can talk about that later. Hey, you know, can you believe that somebody would actually go online and talk about how ugly our family is? Wouldn't that be a terrible thing to do? Why wouldn't you just tell somebody if you have a problem with them? Why would you go online and hide behind a coward typewriter? Not typewriter, but keyboard. Can someone give me a little bit of witness here? So, but this is the day we live in, that people voice what they feel. They feel empowered. So much so that they go out and get a sign. When someone's voted into an office that we don't agree with, we just pray for them and ask God that it would be overturned in the next election. Now we live in an empowering day when they feel like, hey, we can just scream and fight and shoot people, and it's a sad day. I've got somebody right now that thinks they have the gift of discouragement. They sit there every service in our church and they bowed up and they stare at me. You said, what are you going to do? I'm going to do what God told Ezekiel. God told Ezekiel, don't let their faces bother you. And so as I'm scanning the crowd, I'm just going to scan right over them like they're not even there. And if I have to, I'll look at their hair. And I'll just kind of... And so if you find me today not making eye contact, you'll know that, uh-oh, I must have an ugly face. As I start just scanning over the top. Be like that preacher preached at my church one day. He was so nervous, he preached the ceiling the whole time. I thought there were spiders crawling in. I thought something was getting ready to attack us. I never was so glad when he got done preaching. I was a nervous wreck the whole time. I'm like, did they not clean the ceiling? What's going on around? Is there cobwebs? No, I didn't know what was going on. This team, they were in the church. And I want you to know that the team that God very well may be putting His hand on is in this church. They're here. They're here. You know what Missions Conference is doing? It's stirring up the leading of the Lord in our hearts. And some of us will never tell a person until it comes to full fruition. Because we're afraid to. That's understandable. I'd rather you hold back and know that God's leading you into missions, and when you make that announcement, go forward, than to just make an emotional decision. Those don't last. They'll last for a little while, but They don't last for time and eternity. And so I'm praying that God will do that. In my little country church in North Carolina, it's probably about 60, 70 people. And in my country church, if you said amen in the service, all of the elderly ladies that sit right over here in this section, they all had buns on their hand, and they all waved their hankies. I grew up in an old-time shouting country church, and when the preacher got to preaching real hard, they'd pull their hankies out, and they'd go, "Woo!" They'd wave their hankies. It's quiet in New England. And we had a guy drop into our service yesterday from Chesney, South Carolina, that's been a missionary in Russia, Evangelist White, and he got up and he got all, I mean, I'm pretty passionate when I preach. I think I am. I mean, I can really get wild open when I'm preaching. Right now, I'm just trying to be reserved, you know, feel my way through. But this guy yesterday, he goes back to his seat after he gets up here, and right in the middle of the sermon, he went, "Woo!" Scared me so bad. I didn't hardly hear anything Canavan had to say the rest of the service. I was afraid, I see any minute, he's going to do it. Here it comes. And it's right over here. Man, I was a nervous wreck. I grew up in an old-time country church, so any person in the church that said amen, they just said, there's one right there. God's got his hand on him. And so I'd sit in the young people section. We had the section in the back. I don't recommend that. Because Amy and I write notes back and forth, you know. It's not healthy. But I'd sit back there and I'd never tell nobody nothing. But you know what God was doing? He was speaking to me. And He's doing that tonight. He's working. This team, they were in the church. This is an amazing truth, and I'll talk about this and I've run out of time. I'm not even got off the runway. We're still taxiing. This is an amazing truth. I'm continually astounded by this truth. I actually think it's almost a forgotten truth. I don't know why, because it's biblical. But this truth that I want you to see about this team is that they were actually identified by the church. I believe this is like a forgotten Bible truth. The Bible teaches us in the book of Acts, as you are still there in chapter number 13, "And as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, 'Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them.'" And so you got all these people ministering, serving in their local assembly. Let me just say by way of a parenthesis, what are you doing in this local assembly? You said, my job is just to come and just sit. I don't know. I think you need to read some more about that out of the scriptures. All of us have a ministry. And we all must be ministering in some capacity, in the local church. It's God's church. And Christ died for the church. This is a beautiful, beautiful doctrine that is taught to us in the Bible, that we have an opportunity to minister in Christ's church. How thrilling is that? Whether you teach or sing or greet, or you're a prayer warrior during the week and pray over the prayer list, or an interceder for the pastor. How thrilling is it to think that I am a minister of the gospel in Christ's church? Wow. So they were ministering. And as they ministered, oh, this is interesting. I'll close on this. This is very interesting. The Holy Ghost said. You mean that the church at Antioch, you mean to tell me they were sensitive to the Spirit of God? Yes. The Holy Ghost said. I'll tell you what I grew up with, Pastor. Brinson, that will absolutely scare the socks off most people. I grew up in an old-time church that still had exhorters. How many of you remember what an exhorter is? Or was? A few of you. Two hands went up. And both of you have gray hair. Actually, beautiful gray hair. Mine's just turning a little bit silver. I grew up with old-time exhorters. You know what the exhorters, you know who they are, who they were? Maybe there's still some of them still around. You know who they were? They were people who walked with God and knew what it was like to be filled with the Spirit of God and could sense what God was doing in a service. As the gospel was going forth, an exhorter would come up to someone who was lost in their sin, and they would begin to exhort them and say, don't you desire to know Christ as your Savior? And they would exhort them. I mean, the ones that would not come down to the altar, they would go and exhort them. Now, some of that is still going on. 2 weeks ago, Miss Amy, when Gabrielle got saved, Stoy had brought his friends, they're in their 30s, Gabrielle and Tyson. Story had invited him. We're in a big promotion, Boys Against the Girls, and our Sunday school promotion. And we've got a football theme. Like every track you hand out, you get 5 yards. And every person you lead to Christ, you get a touchdown. Oh, we're having a time. And the boys, the girls, they just need to recoach. They need to go back, sit on the bench. They're a bunch of sissy girls. I'm telling you, we are beating the girls. They need a new coach. I don't know what's going on, but anyway, we're having the best. I think we're beating them 156 to 87 or something right now. We're having a time. Stoy, you get points for all the visitors you bring. And Stoy brought his visitors. And Tyson had got saved during Sunday school, Pastor Brinson. We had 33 in our men's Sunday school class. And I don't know that I've ever done this, but maybe twice at the end of the Sunday school class, I gave an invitation. Tyson met me after Sunday school and got gloriously saved. He went and told his girlfriend, who he'd been living with 7 years, that he just got saved. I gave the invitation and she wouldn't come. I thought for sure that she would come. And I looked out of the corner of my eye and Story was exhorting her. He had brought her. And Story was saying to her, wouldn't you like to trust Christ as your Savior? And she broke down and started weeping. She said, yes, I would. And he walked her down the aisle. Come on, you ought to get happy about that. I mean, that'll make you get happy. Walked her down the aisle, had the privilege of leading her to Christ. How joyous is that? How joyous. This team, they were in the church. The Bible is teaching us that great truth. They were identified by the church, a church that was sensitive to the Holy Ghost. I've not even got going. I've got to stop. It's 8:20. Told the preacher I'd stop at 8:20. I might come back here tomorrow and finish. We got to finish this. Don't you think we got to finish this? We're just going to study through this. I don't know what the Spirit of God has emphasized with you tonight, but I hope that He would emphasize this first thought that I'm still not finished with, this thing of teamwork. You know, the Bible says in the book of Ecclesiastes, my wife is teaching the ladies of our church right now through the book of Ecclesiastes, and there's lady Bible study. And in the book of Ecclesiastes, it says two are better than one. And you said, wow, if two are better than one, then two can actually accomplish, they can actually do twice as much. No, they can even do more than that. Synergy. It's amazing. The book of Ecclesiastes teaches us about what happens in the context of two being better than one. Isn't it interesting when you study the Word of God that Jesus sent them out two by two? You know, I can go soul winning. When we start churches, my wife was homeschooling, and when we start churches, you go out and knock on doors alone. You're respectful of that. You don't go into homes and things like that. You stay out. You're respectful of that. And I've heard people all over the country sometimes saying, well, I don't think you should do that. Well, I think you should move and come help me. And then I wouldn't do that. But until that happens, I'm going to do that. I'm going to evangelize. But I don't know how many times. Could it be countless? Let me say personally, it's countless times when I've been alone. And you could get discouraged. But when you have somebody else with you, when something happens, sometimes you laugh about it. You know, somebody does something foolish and you just kind of shrug it off or you comment. Like, what a poor, miserable soul. You know, is it a sin to be kind? They didn't have to act like that. And then you maybe it's not real spiritual, but you begin to make a joke about those people that you knocked on their door. But you're helping each other, right? You're encouraging one another. Sometimes when that happens, if you're alone, you could bow your head and say, you know, I've had enough of this. I'm going to Dunkin' Donuts because everything runs on Dunkin'. I'm going to Dunkin' Donuts. I don't go to Star Yucks. I'm going to Dunkin'. You could get discouraged. And you could just quit. Two are better than one. There's a team. Now I wonder, as we close tonight, how this thought that was in the church in Antioch where great things were going on. I wonder if there's the thought of the Crooked Creek Baptist Church being so sensitive to the Spirit of God that you can begin to identify those that are ministering in the church, pastor and others, you that are walking with God full of the Holy Ghost. By the way, another parenthesis, that's commanded. That's not optional. We're all filled with something. This would be a sad, sad story tonight if someone in this assembly, they were filled with anger. But if you are, it's controlling you. If you're filled with bitterness, it controls you. If you're filled with jealousy, it controls you. And when you're filled with the Holy Ghost, and guess what comes out? The fruit of the Spirit. And the first one is love. Isn't that great? In a fundamental Baptist church to say that we're in love. We should be loving. We should have the Spirit of Christ in everything we do. We shouldn't be rude or ugly people. We're Christians. We're Christ followers. That's who we should imitate everything that we do. Those that are full of the Holy Ghost here tonight could begin to see those that are ministering and go, you know what? That's a missionary. That might help somebody. You say, well, it would terrify. If we said anything like that, it would terrify them. Not necessarily. Maybe it would help them. Maybe they would be a little bit shy to that thought. But if you saw the works of God in their life and you encouraged them, you know, I see God working in your life. What would be wrong with saying that? You know, I see God working in your life. I see the Lord doing something in your life. It's so beautiful. I hope that you'll let that keep happening. And it might be that that's what they need. And you could have a team that one day can be sent out of here to the firing field. But let's just team them up immediately and send them out in Georgia. Let's just, we could, if our friend going to Indonesia says there's 50-something thousand Muslims in Georgia, instead of making fun of them, maybe we should go evangelize them. Excuse me. We should go evangelize them. Don't make fun of them. They need Christ. And maybe a team. If we're going to be able to befriend them, well, let's go befriend them. Let's find somebody in this area. Now, let's ask God to help us. We could be that team. And as we ministered here, who would know what God would do? As they were sent forth. The message tonight, missions in the book of Acts, and the thought, teamwork. I possibly will speak more on this tomorrow. I'm anxious to be able to speak more on it, preach on it, teach on it. Maybe just for a backstory in your devotions tomorrow or tonight, you can just read those two chapters. It doesn't take long. I read them through turbulence today. One time we were going through turbulence, we hit clear air turbulence. I've been flying for 20 years. My wife said, "What was that?" Because we were just flying along just perfectly still and all of a sudden, boom, the tail almost fell off the airplane. I said, that's called clear air turbulence. It could happen any moment. And I could tell by her eyes, she hoped it didn't happen again. I was writing this sermon out, just reading Acts 13 and 14, having the time of my life. Just read it. See what God would do for us. Let's let God speak to our hearts this week. See? One night's gone. We only have two left. Answer questions Wednesday. Just a couple more sessions. So let's do some homework on our own, shall we? Let's do that. What a God. Isn't it wonderful to be saved tonight?
Yes.
Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Let's ask the Lord to help us. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the Bible. Our lives are different tonight because of the Bible. We ask you to speak to us as we continue to study and preach from this great passage of Scripture. May we be very sensitive to what you're doing in our midst during these days of missions conference. We'll praise you and give you the glory for it all in Christ's name.